Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Season 2 Q&A for The Stench of Adventure. With me right now is Grace Griego. Grace Griego, introduce yourself.
Hi there, I'm Grace Griego, as you might have heard. I use she, her pronouns. I'm one of the co-founders of Strong Branch Productions, and I voice Stella Thomas in Alex Kingsley's very own The Stench of Adventure.
And Alex Kingsley is me, and yeah. I use they, them pronouns. And I write and direct and sound design The Stench of Adventure, and I also voice the captain. And we are here with some questions that you all submitted, and we have not seen them. We have no idea what we're about to read. So get ready.
Buckle up.
How
are
you feeling, Grace?
I'm feeling nervous.
I'm nervous, too.
I'm buckling up.
Question number one. This question is from Delphi. We know
Sick.
Delphi.
We do.
This question starts with the word please. Like please, but with a B.
Please.
How does Theed wear a scarf? Is it around their eye stalks, their shell, the area between their head and the shell? This question haunts me.
That's haunting. That is haunting.
I too am haunted. This is the kind of thing where I'd love to leave it up to interpretation. In my brain, they'd kind of like stick like they've got their shell, and then they've got like their flesh foot is like the part that is on the ground, and then their head part kind of like curves up a little. So they have like a bit of a neck, I think.
Okay.
Where in the part where the flesh foot leaves the ground and becomes like a head. So that's where I think a scarf would go.
That's fair.
But I like to, you know, Deed is their own snail. They could put that scarf wherever they want.
It could be in their flesh foot. We don't know.
It could be.
Things
could
get stuck there all the time.
There's still, no one has removed the boot from season one.
The boot is in
the boot is still in their shell. Who else, who knows what else is under there?
Gerald, maybe. We don't know.
He's hiding in there.
That's where he sleeps.
Yeah, we've never addressed, like, where does Gerald go at night?
My bet, this is not canon. I'm saying maybe inside of someone's shell.
They are, Theed and Gerald are besties. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, let's not forget their bond. Hope that gives you more to be haunted by, Delphi.
Next question. This question is also from Delphi, and it is very possible that all of these questions are from Delphi. I would be okay with that.
I would also be okay with that.
Stella mentioned space having five genders and man not being one of them. Is woman a gender? What are the five genders? Is Dan the first man in space?
Dan is the first man in space. Neil Armstrong wasn't real.
Yeah, Neil Armstrong was part of the simulation. Never happened.
Never happened. Is the moon... No, the moon's real, right? The moon is real?
In this world?
Yeah. In Stench? Is there a moon?
Or do you mean in reality? Are you asking me if the moon is real in our reality?
I know the moon is real in this reality. I look at her every night and I say, you're gorgeous. Is the moon
you say
real
that,
in the Stench
if,
universe?
If I may tell the people, in one of our very first recording sessions, I saw your face. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah. Say it.
Can I say it?
Yes.
In one of our very first recording sessions, Grace was shocked to discover that West Virginia was a real state.
It's really upsetting.
It's truly deeply upsetting. And Bailey, the voice of Deed, is from West Virginia. That's how it came up. So we were in a recording session and Grace was like, that's not real. And
I was like, you guys are being really funny.
Regular Virginia, the opposite Virginia, was like, what are you talking about? This is a
and
whole
I was like,
place.
There's one Virginia. There's Western Virginia, but there's no West Virginia.
And, oh, you asked about the moon.
First of all, is the moon real in the Stench universe?
Well, there are many moons because there are many planets. But the Earth's moon is not real because the Earth is not real.
That's so fucked up.
So there's no the moon. There's no Luna. There is many other moons.
I don't know why that makes me really sad, but that's, like, that's deeply upsetting to learn.
I can put some moons in there for you if you want.
Okay, I think this needs to be addressed.
All right, I'll make sure there's at least one moon somewhere in the rest of the show for you.
Yes! Okay, back to the question
in response to gender. Back to the question, which is about gender. We do discuss this a little bit in the bonus episode, Gender in Space, which you can listen to if you either contributed to our crowdfunding campaign for season 2, or if you are a patron of Strong Branch Productions. So that we do address this a bit, but basically there are infinite genders in the universe, which is also true in our reality. That is not just true of the sense reality.
That's just true.
And man and woman are just two of the infinite genders. Dan is not the first man in space. There have been other men in space, namely Gerald, who I think is the only character on... No. Gerald and Scott are the only two characters on the Raccoon to use he, him pronouns.
Yeah.
So there are... Is Scott a man? That is a existential question that I don't feel qualified to delve into.
I can't answer. That's for Scott.
I certainly can't. Yeah, that's for Scott and Scott alone. But yeah, there have been other men. Otherwise, how could Dan find himself a big beefy spaceman to go be gay with?
David Bowie. I think it should be David Bowie.
David Bowie. Grace has made her opinion known that Dan's space boyfriend should be David Bowie.
I think it should be David Bowie.
I have to admit to you, I do have a plan in mind for Dan's romantic future. It's not David Bowie.
Fuck.
You'll have to find out. No, I think you'll be satisfied with who it is.
Elvis Presley.
I think you'll like it. Oh, that would also be good, but no.
Okay.
That's no, because this show is already way too similar to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Everyone who listens to it is always like, yeah, you're a Douglas Adams hoe, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's very obvious. Which is fair. But there is an Elvis cameo at the end of that series. So I would be once again stealing from Douglas Adams if I did that.
That's so exciting. I didn't realize that. That's so funny.
They have to get back to Earth in an alternate universe where Earth hasn't blown up yet. Spoilers for Hitchhiker's Guide.
First,
and they're like, we don't have a spaceship. So then they meet Elvis at this random space cafe. And they're like, Elvis, can we buy your spaceship? And he's like, sure. And they he sells them this hot pink spaceship that they use to fly to an alternate version of Earth.
Well, I'm glad Elvis is so nice in this unit. That seems like a cool guy. Good for him.
Everyone should go read that whole series. Also, I did read that when I was 11 years old, so I might be slightly misremembering. You can fact check me or don't. You can just we can all just live in blissful ignorance.
Because
I actually haven't reread that one. I've reread a lot of those books. I actually never reread the last one because it made me too sad that it was the last one.
That's fair.
So
that is fair.
These are purely memories from an 11-year-old. Next question. This question is from Era. How was writing season 2 as an experience compared to writing season 1? Was it more challenging?
Alex, take it away. I did not write either.
Wow, so many things. There were certain things that were more challenging and certain things that were less challenging. What was less challenging? When I was first writing season 1, I didn't know what this was going to be. I didn't know if people would support me. I didn't even know like how to sound edit. I had no idea what I was doing. So it was like very, very scary. And I felt like I was just kind of floundering and just trying desperately to make a thing. So it felt really good once I had actually made the thing to be like, okay, I've done it. I know how to do it. I can do it again. So that was definitely easier because I wasn't just like when I first wrote season 1, I also didn't even know who would be involved like actor wise. Like I just wrote these characters without knowing what their voices would be. And then when I got to season 2 and we had already made season 1, I was not just writing the characters, I was writing for those actors. So I was writing like honestly especially Jake, I could like hear Jake's voice in my head, and that helped me to write puppet lines. The same with you, Grace. Like, once I knew that you were Stella, I was writing Stella not just as Stella, but for you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely helped a lot. That made things easier, especially since the actors informed the character so much. Like, this, one thing that I've really prided myself, and honestly, like, I've been proud of the whole cast on this show, is the way that I wrote these characters, and then all the actors came in and, like, did their own interpretations and added so much, and we are always, like, playing around and ad-libbing things. Even yesterday, we had a recording session, and Jake had an idea and was like, hey, can I just add this part to the scene? And we were like, yeah, sure, go for it. And so the characters kind of take on a life of their own that is not just what I have written, but what I've written and what the actors do. So having that input going into season two also helped me a lot to kind of know who these characters are. So that made it easier.
I could see myself in Stella when you wrote lines about her being lactose intolerant.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing, is that once I knew Stella was Grace, I could pull things from Grace, which meant sometimes when I'm writing, I will just text Grace and be like, what is Stella's favorite song? Or, like, what is Stella's email password? Things like that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, if Stella is Grace, then I might as well just, like, pull from Grace's actual life.
True.
So many, many of the fun facts about Stella that we get in the show are true facts about Grace. Not all of them.
Not all, but some.
What makes it harder is I do this thing when I'm doing a creative project where I try to not tell people about it until I know it's real. Mm-hmm. Because I get very nervous when people are aware of a thing that I'm doing, and then if for whatever reason, like, it doesn't happen, I get very anxious about, oh god, but now it's in people's brains, and now people know about it. So when I was writing season one, I really didn't tell anyone but my partner and Grace. That was, like, it. Until it was written, and I was ready to, like, cast people and bring other people on. And even when I was recording with other people, pretty much only the cast knew until we were firmly like, okay, we're announcing the show, this is the show. So with season two, I was like, shit, people know this show now. And also, and this is a good thing, this is a wonderful thing, the show got so much more reach than we ever expected. Like, I was just kind of throwing stuff together, and then we actually, like, had a big audience and had listeners and got connected with the whole indie podcast community. So I was like, not only does this thing exist and people know about it, but I am aware that there are actually people listening. So also my standards for my own writing went way up, and that kind of sense of external pressure and external, like, I know people are going to listen to this. People, you know, have told me that they liked the first season, so now I have to step up my game to make it even better second season. This sense of, like, okay, I have to improve on that. I was just introducing so many concepts in the first one, and now I have to actually, like, follow through. The first season didn't really have a plot so much, but I really do want to have a plot arc for this show, so actually bringing in this overarching plot arc, was there were a lot more complicated, like, okay, I have to get a little more serious things in season two, and that made it more difficult in that respect. That was a really long answer. I hope that was a good one, though.
I liked it.
I did also have more support. Like, in season one, I didn't really have anyone, like, my partner looked over the scripts, but that was about it. We kind of just went from that to recording. And for season two, I had Elliot and Grace on the production team to give me feedback on the scripts before I put them out and sent them to actors. So that was really wonderful, and I was able to put out more polished scripts than I would have otherwise.
Yeah!
I was able to do a round of rewrites, which is a normal thing for a writer to do, but I didn't do it on the first season because I didn't know what I was doing. Okay, cool. Next question. This question is from Freya. Which season... Oh, sorry. I read that wrong. I was like, which season? There's only two. Which scene in this season was the most fun to write versus most fun to record / edit? Ooh. Oh, that is a great question. Grace, why don't you answer first?
Oh, God. I really think this is really hard because, there's so many fun things that were really fun to record. I'm gonna have to go with, when we're in the little box and you were just like, all right, let's improv for, and you let us go for so long. We improvised so many different planets and we kept going and it was really, really funny.
That was really fun. That was also a lot of fun to edit because going through the 12 minutes and that the 12 minutes of us improvising is now up as a bonus episode publicly. So you can listen to that if you want. But going through that and trying to find like what parts I actually wanted to include was really fun.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I think any time that we were like, let's improvise, let's go bonkers, were some of the best moments. One of mine is the scene where Gerald is beating up the cop.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah. That was another one where we just went on forever and I didn't so stop
long.
Us.
So long.
Me and Grace and Josie were just saying like, what? Look at him go, look at... I only included a fraction of what was actually recorded for that scene.
We were going cuckoo crazy.
That was also one of the most fun ones to edit, just because it was really hilarious to put my dad's angry janitor sounds against EK's cries of pain. And then there's just us in the background going, whoa,
I didn't know we could move. Wow.
We invited a lot of new actors onto the show this season, which was really, really cool. And they were all really fun to work with. So in picking one of those scenes, I promise I am not saying anything bad about any of the other ones.
I had such a great time.
Everyone is so good. I had such a great time recording with Oliver Smith, who plays Kevin, the phone voice, the bureaucratic phone voice on the trash collection board. And they're just such a delightful person and so fun to work with and hang out with. And also an incredibly prolific voice actor. If you look at his Twitter, bonkers, ridiculous number of credits. So I was so thankful to have Oliver on the show, and that was really fun to do. Yeah. And also to write. Most fun scene to write.
Is there a scene you were writing that as you were writing you were like, this is good?
Like, there definitely were. Like, I honestly these days many of the scenes are like that, mostly because I'm like, oh, we're gonna have fun when we actually do this.
Yeah. Did you write my favorite moment from this season, which is, of course, Puppet's cut-off scream?
Yes, yes, okay.
That was my favorite.
No, that's a good one. That was in the script, which is at the end of episode 4 when I say, we're going to the Benevolent Romance Corporation, and Puppet goes, yeah! And then it gets cut off. Jake does such a fantastic job with Puppet. That Puppet is definitely one of those characters where I'm like, writing any of the scenes with Deed and Gerald together and writing their friendship.
Dynamic duo. That's a Halloween costume idea. Some inspiration for you guys if you want to dress as an old man and a giant slug. Big snail and old guy.
I'm going to give one more favorite scene to record and then I'll move on to this question. There's just the whole thing is really fun. We just have a really good time the whole time. And it's hard to pick a favorite. Recording with my parents is always a delight. Because my parents are very, and I love that I get to include my family in the thing that brings me so much joy. So recording with my parents is great. And also in season 3, I get to feature my older sister, who has not been featured yet. My little sister was featured in season 1, but my older sister is going to be featured in season 3. So I really enjoy whenever I get to include my family in this show. They're also, my family are the biggest Stench fans.
Yeah.
They gather around the radio every Thursday like an old-fashioned family waiting for the news broadcast.
Tuning in for my favorite silly little stinky show.
Okay, next question. Humans have so far fulfilled the role of several farm animals ridden like horses, turned into nuggets like chicken, etc. Are there other species of livestock, or is it all increasingly disturbing human farms? This question is from Delphi. Yeah, I would say there have to be other species of livestock. You can't get all your... Humans only have so much nutrients.
We only got so much meat. I have a really awful question that I just want to know off of this.
Yeah, do humans, I would like to hear it.
You know how cows get milked?
Does that make... That was a great way to start the sentence.
Is that what happens on the human farms? Do humans get milked?
You started this by saying, I have a really awful question. And I have a really awful way to start my answer, which is, I have thought about this. This is already something that I thought about.
Oh my god.
And the answer has simply got to be yes. Because, they're livestock, just like any other. Maybe the show will convince people to become vegetarians.
Just on the imagery alone of milking a human.
I just don't want to think about it. I just don't want to think about it.
Youch.
But yeah, I mean, you got to get your milk from somewhere. Otherwise your bones are going to be weak. You got to get your calcium.
Gotta get your titty milk.
You know, they're definitely human milk. Well, don't call it that. It's at least a little better if you don't call it titty milk.
Fair enough.
I mean, by that standard, all milk is titty milk because it came from the titty of a creature.
That's what I call milk all the time, and people have told me
that's
to
just
stop.
What you call. And I said, no, I won't.
And I said,
that's what it is.
I won't.
There are obviously human milk alternatives. There are human rights activists.
That's so true.
That say, come on, humans are people too.
Humans are people too.
And there's other forms of milk. But yeah, human milk definitely exists. And... what was the original question again? Other livestock.
Yeah, other livestock. Any examples? Or just like, they're out there.
I think there are chickens. I think they're just normal chickens. It's like humans and chickens.
Chickens aren't sentient or...
No, they're just like regular chicken. I think there are also other things that are like would be super alien to us, like alien livestock.
That I couldn't even conceptualize.
Like glazorpazorps, stuff like that. So it's like a bunch of other things, yeah, beyond your comprehension, and chickens.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you for that question. Next question. Are the crew members of the skunk supposed to be like the exact opposite of the crew members of the raccoon? And if that's the case, would they have their own versions of Bean, Puppet, Gerald, and possibly Baz and Stella? This question is from Hawk First. Hi, Hawk First.
Hey.
I think it's hilarious that you ask this. So, the idea for the Starship Skunk came from actually the DM in a Dungeons & Dragons campaign that I'm in. Because I was briefly DMing a campaign that had one session and then we never met again. Because, you know, that's just how it goes. If you've played D&D, you know how it goes.
It happens.
On a call with my DM asking for advice for how I should DM, because it was my first time DMing a game with a module. I had always just kind of homebrewed everything. And I wanted to try using like a canon Dungeons & Dragons module. And I was asking him for advice. And he was like, oh, you know what your party will hate? Is if they have a rival party where there's like the opposite version of everyone on their party. And then they will, if you want them to like increase their motivation and have more of a reason to follow the plot, just you have to give them a rival. And I was like, oh, I like that. I'm going to steal that and I'm going to put it in this show.
Perfect.
So yes, they are they are all supposed to be parallels of the Starship Raccoon. And as for are there parallel versions of Baz and Stella and Theed, etc., etc. All I can say is you're gonna have to wait until season 3. that's why I'm laughing so hard, is because I'm like, you're too ahead of the game for your own good.
You caught on real fast.
But I'm also laughing a lot because I've just been having such a delightful time writing the character that is kind of Beads parallel.
Ooh.
So I cannot wait to introduce them to you.
That's really exciting.
Okay, next question. This question is also from Hawkfurs. This is also the last question. And oh, what a question to end on.
Yes.
How would Buttercup, Captain, and Bead wear pants?
Another really important one that I think we have to address.
Yeah. The people need to know.
Do any of them wear pants normally?
You see, that's a great question. I was going to address that. They would never, I don't think. I think they'd all find it... Well, no. The Captain and Buttercup would both find wearing pants totally undignified. They would be mortified. They would never do it.
If you put them in a little outfit, they would hate it.
Yeah. They would not like a little outfit at all.
All right.
Theed would love a little outfit. If you tried to put Theed in pants, I think they'd be over the moon. The moon that now exists in the Stench universe at Grace's request.
Oh, thank God.
Well, there is no God in the Stench universe, but...
oh, thank Luna.
You can thank the narrator.
Oh, thank Alex Sheldon.
Oh, thank Alex Sheldon. Theed would love pants. I think that the pants that Theed would wear would be more like a sock that you have to put their flesh foot into. So it's not really pants so much as it's just like a Theed holder. And it would make it very hard for them to slither because they can't, like, you know, slime up. So they would be like cozy pants, and then they just kind of fall over on their side. Like when you know when you push over a cat and the cat just like flops and is like, well, I'm on my side now. It would be like that.
I think Stella should knit a giant Theed holder.
I like that. I want to add that I think Stella absolutely doesn't know how to knit, so it is ugly as hell.
I think she really wants to know, but she would not put in the effort to actually understand the mechanics.
I agree with you. I agree. I think she tried to learn about knitting, and she'd be like, you know what? This is too complicated.
She'd be like, you know what? Am I really into Mabel from Gravity Falls? Yes, but I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she knit all those sweaters. She's crazy.
The other two characters, also, you can weigh in on the pants situation, Grace. I do not have a monopoly on pants.
Okay. I'm glad to hear it.
Buttercup, you would have a hard time getting her into pants because she would scratch your face. You might lose an eye or other vital organ.
I can't tell if this is Grace talking or Stella talking, but I would love to see Buttercup in a pair of little kitty overalls because she's a little kitty engineer.
I think she would. But I think she would do it if it were purely practical. I think you're right. She's a little kitty engineer. I think if she had like a little overalls that would like go over her little kitty shoulders with a little kitty tool belt.
Yeah, she's got her tools.
I think, yeah, exactly. I think that's what it would look like. The captain, just would never. I can't even deign to answer that.
I can't imagine Captain, and I think they would wear them if they were ever to don pants. I think it would be horizontal.
Wait, as opposed to vertical pants?
When they're like, how would a horse wear pants? This way or this way, and it's horizontal.
Oh,
and vertical.
I see what you're saying. Like back legs as opposed to all legs.
I'm saying
like
all
do
legs.
Like do the pants. You're saying all legs in one pant with four pant holes.
Four pant holes, and that's what I think.
Interesting.
I think if they were forced to wear pants,
that it would be back half only.
Mm.
With a little hole for the tail.
Really important to mark that down.
You can't pack a tail into your pants. That's uncomfortable.
Spoken like someone who would know.
Okay, great. That is all the questions. Grace, do you have anything to add to any of our answers?
I think I'm pretty satisfied with the energy that we've created in the studio today.
I'm satisfied as well. Before we go, we have a few things, Strong Branch related, that we want to share with you all. So season 3 of The Stench of Adventure is coming soon. We're going into recording now, and we have some really exciting things in it. We have some guest stars that we can't tell you who they are yet, but they're there. And
be on the lookout.
Yeah, be on the lookout. It's going to be a good time. So that's on its way. In the meantime, there are a few other things. One of those things is our new show, Tales from the Radiator, which is an anthology-style podcast. So what we did is we got a bunch of cool writers and a bunch of cool actors together, and they wrote a bunch of stories and then acted those stories, and they sound really good. And available right now is season 0, which is the pilot season. And that includes a radio play by none other than Grace Griego.
Yeah!
Performed by some fantastic actors. It also includes one of my short stories. But then season 1 itself is going to be comprised fully of submissions that we got. We got over 100 submissions for this show, and we picked our favorite stories to share with you all, and picked some fantastic actors to perform those stories. So please keep an eye out for that show. It's going to be coming out in January. Start of January is when season 1 premieres. We also have another show, Arcana in Suburbia, and we just announced our crew for that. We have a whole great gang of writers. So that show we're currently writing. So have a look out for that as well. Another thing is, this is not Strong Branch. This is just general. I am directing a really cool show called Among the Stacks. I am also a writer for that show and an actor in it. Our very own Grace Griego, the voice of Stella Thomas, is also acting in that show. It has got such a great cast, such a great crew of writers. It is such a good gang. If you have not looked it up, there are a few trailers out already. If you have not looked into it, please do. It's gonna be really good. I've also had a few stories out since we last talked, so if you like my writing, I have a story in Radon Journal in Orion's Bow. I'm gonna have a story out in the Weird Tales podcast. I had a story out in the Storage Papers, which is a Rusty Quill podcast. So yeah. Check it all out. Oh, and the anthology, if you want to read the one with about the demon who makes oatmeal, that's in an anthology called Strangely Funny 9 from a publisher called Mystery and Horror LLC.
Yeah!
A Strong Branching Out season 2 is coming, also in January. We're starting off season 2 with The Secret of St. Kilda. And we're so excited to have that gang on. We're going to play a game together.
And we're offering a new format, a new way to watch it, which will be on Twitch. We're going to stream.
Yeah, we're going to live stream Strong Branching Out. It will still be available in podcast form if you missed the stream. But yeah, we're going to start doing it live.
Yes.
Anything else?
I think that's pretty much it on my end.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you all for your questions. Thank you all for listening. And see you all soon. Thanks for being our friends.
Thanks for being our friends. Bye, everyone.